Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to be with you as always. Here's where we're going to continue reading the Word. We will begin the final leg of our journey as we are looking at the kings of the United Kingdom there in the Old Testament. We began looking at a man. His name was Saul, and he was a head and shoulders above everybody else. The people wanted a king, not always God's plan, but God gave them what they wanted, ultimately fulfilling God's will, of course. But the people had to learn a lesson to always rely upon God. God said, "This king will enslave you. He will sell off your children. You will become slaves." And they said, "No, we want a king to be like the people around us." So God granted that request, and Saul made good on God's promises. We see Saul would never keep the kingdom due to his sins there in the book of 1 Samuel chapters 15 and following. So the reins are passed to a man. His name is David. Now, we learn the story of David as a boy in 1 Samuel. We learn the story of David as a king in 2 Samuel. I like to refer, as we've been working on a study, unrelated, but a study in 2 Samuel, called it "The Successes and Sins of King David." We see in the book of 1 Kings is the story of Solomon as king, at least the first half or so, and then we get the rest of the kings of the divided kingdom. So David is the second king of Israel. Solomon would be the second son that is born to the union there of David and Bathsheba. In our last study, we talked about the sin that resulted in that. Or he is on the list of children, I should say. He's after that first son they lose due to David and Bathsheba's sin. The book of 1 Kings, if you want to open your Bible, since this is Reading the Word, let's get into it now. David is old. That's how the book of 1 Kings begins, and he cannot get warm. He knows that his life is nearing an end. We see in chapter 2 a friend, a cohort of David, if you will, Joab. He is killed, ultimately fulfilling some prophecies there, and he had it coming to him. We see Solomon has some big shoes to fill as he leads God's people. Now, Solomon, not being the oldest son by birthright, but that's God's choice of who he wants to lead, so God's will always comes to fruition. That's one thing about God's will you can take to the bank, dear friends. Join me in 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's begin the wisdom of Solomon. Program number 82 here on Reading the Word. The Bible says, "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house, the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built into the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." We see Solomon, at least here in the introductory points, he looks to be doing all right. He has some good wisdom here. Look at verse 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night." As we pause here, God appearing to Solomon in a dream, he's not the only one that God appeared to in a dream. I think about Joseph had a couple of different dreams. I think about Pharaoh. I think about Pilate's wife in the New Testament. Peter, the Lord appeared to Peter in a vision there in the 10th chapter of Acts. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But notice here, God says, "Ask what I shall give thee." A simple question, yet very complex question at the same time. Solomon said, "That thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him his great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Solomon recounts the faithfulness of God. "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Thy servant is in the midst of the people which thou hast chosen. They are a great number of people. They cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" Solomon claims, as if he were a child, he has no knowledge. It's not that he didn't know. It's he didn't feel he knew enough. He knew adequate information to be a judge of God's people. Verse 8 talks about that great innumerable multitude. That's referencing a promise that was made to Abraham. Genesis 12, verse 3, Genesis 15, 5, etc. So Solomon asked in verse 9 for understanding. He asked for wisdom so he can be a good judge of God's people. So far, everything seems to be going great for Solomon. Join with me now, 1 Kings 3 and verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. God was happy what Solomon had done. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and you've not asked for yourself a long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast you asked the life of your enemies, you've asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. See, God commends Solomon. He says, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there any arise like unto thee after. See, God grants to Solomon a wise heart, a different heart. He is different. He would stand out. We often call Solomon the wisest man for a reason. Verse 13, I have also given thee that which you have not asked, both riches and honor. There shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. He was also given what he didn't ask for. If thou wilt walk in my ways, verse 14, to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. There's a caveat. Must follow the Lord. We'll look at verse 15, then pause. Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings. He made a feast to all of his servants. See, God basically said, here's a blank check. What do you want? Fill it out. He says, ask for wisdom. God says, you've asked wisely. You didn't ask for riches, but I'm going to give it to you. You didn't ask for a long life. I'm going to give it to you. Instead, you asked for wisdom, and God says, I will give that to you as well. Dear friends, an important principle we learn from Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek ye shall find, knock the door shall be opened to you. We need to make sure we ask God in prayer now, knowing we don't ask amiss, so we don't realize that God's will always comes to fruition, but we need to be out there praying and asking. We also need to pause, take a quick break, invite you to services coming up at the Arlington Church of Christ, where I'm blessed to be the minister there. Brother Dearman, pick up the information, please, here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, and once again, a pleasant invitation extended to you. Come out and join us sometime at Arlington. You'd be our welcome, honored guest. Let's keep reading the Word, shall we? We're in 1 Kings chapter 3. We're looking at the wisdom of Solomon as we're beginning the last leg of a study of the kings of Israel, the United Kingdom, that is. We've seen the wisdom that Solomon gets from the Lord. Now let's look at our second point, the application of the wisdom. Stay here in 1 Kings chapter 3. Pick up verse 16, please. Then came there two women that were harlots under the king and stood before him. Seeing Solomon is acting as a judge. See, the period of judges has ended. At some 450-year period has ceased. So Solomon is now taking on the role as a judge. And these two harlots, they come before the king. Now, a harlot is a woman who would have sold, more than likely not, would have sold her body for sexual pleasure. We are not commending. In fact, we're condemning that. God's words is clear. One man, one woman, and one God for life. That's his plan. But notice about these two harlots. One said, verse 17, O my Lord, I and this woman, we dwell together in one house, and I delivered a child. And verse 18, it came to pass, after I delivered a child, this woman delivered as well. We were together, no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. Well, there's probably no stranger because of their occupation. Harlotry may have been conceived out of wedlock there, more likely than not. Verse 19, notice, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. What happened? Sleeping with the child in the bed, she rolled over on the child, suffocated the child, and sadly the child passed away. We see verse 20, And so the woman arose at midnight, took my son, the harlot said, from beside me, while thy handmaid, while I slept, and she laid it on her bosom, and she put the dead child in my bosom. So what's happened? One lady rolls over on her child in the middle of the night. She realizes it. She gets up, and she goes and places the deceased child in the place of the living child in the room next door where the lady was. I don't know if they're really in rooms next door. That's just how I picture it anyways. And so the problem is now they're going to fight over this. Verse 20, when I rose in the morning to nurse my child, behold, the child was dead. When I considered it in the morning, I thought, behold, this is not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, the living is my son, the dead is thy son. And I said, no, the dead is thy son, the living is my son. And thus they spake before the king. Woman's confused. At first she thinks, oh no, my child's dead. And starts looking, well, this isn't the child that I had. This is not the child I gave birth to, that I carried in my womb. So what is a king to do? Well, it's a case of she said. Verse 23, then said the king, one says, this is my son that lives, and your son is dead. The other says, no, your son is dead, and mine is the living. So the king says, bring me a sword. They bring a sword before the king. Watch his idea. Verse 25, the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Now, obviously, we know dividing a child in two, whether you go long ways or short ways, is going to kill the child. But Solomon knows what he's doing in his wisdom. Notice, then spake, verse 26, the woman whose child was living, her bowels yearned for her son. She says, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. The other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, divide the child. Well, it's clear the true mother doesn't want anything to happen to her son, even if the son is not in her custody. But the one who has nothing to lose and everything to gain says, go ahead and cut it in half. Verse 27, the king answered, said, give her, speaking to the woman who spoke out, the child, in no wise slay it, for she is the mother thereof. See, God knew what he was doing when he placed Solomon in reign, in control. Solomon was wise to ask for wisdom. I don't know how much time has passed between when he asked for wisdom and when he's acting as this judge, but evidently, however long it has been, he has been using his knowledge. So, what's happened? He has applied what God has given him. What's the point of this, though? Look at verse 28 of 1 Kings 3 as we close out today's study. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. They see, literally in Hebrew, his knowledge is in the midst of him. Everywhere he looks, God's knowledge is there. All Israel heard. All of Israel, even the enemies of Israel, they feared Solomon. Why? Because God is with him. We see as we begin our study looking at the kings of the United Kingdom, Solomon being the last one. His son Rehoboam will split the kingdom, but that's a study for another day because we're running out of time allotted for us today here in this format. But Solomon applies the wisdom that God grants him. Oh, dear friends, if we would do well now, God's not going to appear to us in a dream to miraculously get some kind of knowledge or some wisdom, but I tell you what he is going to do. He's already done it. He has left us his last written, willed testament of his son Jesus. That's the New Testament, Old Testament, Romans 15:4, provided for our learning. John 12:48, we're going to be bound, scripturally speaking, on the judgment day. How did you live up to thus saith the Lord? So I can read God's word and I can get wisdom and knowledge and understanding from that. And that's been our goal here on this program of Reading the Word. If you want to catch this or any of the other programs in this series, just go to my website, TheJustinReedShow.com, TheJustinReedShow.com. Right there on the homepage, you're going to see a little button that says Reading the Word. Click on that, and all programs, this is number 82, all programs are archived there for you. Hope you've enjoyed the study. More importantly, I hope you can make plans to join us again in our next study next week when we will finish out looking at Solomon. We'll end this program the same way we've ended every program in this series. May the good Lord bless you and may He keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.